First, we're going to hear from some voters and indeed non-voters in the constituency of Dublin South West, which returned one Fianna Fáil TD, one Fine Gael, one Sinn Féin, one Labour and one People Before Profit. I went out to the Square Shopping Centre in Tallaght to get a sense of the issues that were most important to people there.
Did you vote, first of all, in the last election?
I did.
There's a government coming in. Is there any particular issue that's top of your list that you'd like to see them deal with?
Well, housing, health, everything, really. And I'm just so mad that they're back in there. Same thing's going to happen again. Promises, promises, and nothing happens. Because you're not in the real world.
For ourselves, definitely housing. We're saving for a mortgage at the moment. And we're always just losing. We are saving a lot. But the prices are rising.
Help to buy is no help to us, because the area we're looking in, all the houses are well over the 500 grand help to buy. So there's no benefit to us for that. So it's a bit disheartening, but sure, look, we're both back at home with our parents.
Every weekend we just go to one house or the other house. But during working days, obviously, we live separately.
Kildare is where we're looking.
But it's definitely catching up with Dublin.
Did you vote?
Something happened and I didn't vote. Well, for the older people, I don't think they get enough to live on. I get 277 a week. I don't think that's terrific.
Did you vote in it, first of all?
I didn't because I live in a part of the country where I don't know many of the TDs or representatives down there, so no.
The incoming government, they're obviously going to be drawing up the programme for government. What would you like to see top of their list?
Immigration. People coming into the country where we don't have room for them, we don't have room for our own, we don't have housing for our own. And I think that's the biggest problem we're facing right now, is where are we putting these people? Who's actually coming in? How are they vetted? I work in a company where we employ lots of immigrants and we need them, but we need the right ones.
One of my sons in particular has been waiting over 2 years for a surgery that he needs done. So we've ended up going private. He's having it done next week, but he shouldn't have to wait that long for access to healthcare that's meant to be free.
Did you vote in the last election?
I certainly did, yes.
And the top priority for the incoming government?
Housing and health, crime. Crime is a big problem. It's not all about more guards, it's more laws. There's no sentence anymore. People are arrested for this, that and the other, and they get out of court with a slap on the wrist, give the guards the two fingers, and away they go, crime again. So it's not more guards, it's more punishment.
Did you vote in the election?
I did.
The incoming government, whoever they are, what should they put at the top of the priority list?
No time for them, to be quite honest with you. And it's all the same what we say. They will not do what we want them to do. Just status quo.
More support and euthanasia and mental health for children and teenagers especially. Yeah, and special skills for kids with additional needs.
What's the top priority the next government should sort out?
The disability network. Children with disability, because it's a disgrace. The waiting list is awful, ridiculous. The way you have to get schools further away because there's nothing available in your area. I think it's going to stay the same because same government, so clearly people don't want change.
Well, obviously health and housing. Not being able to get an appointment to see a consultant and the waiting list in A&E. Sitting there all night in A&E, older people, 12 hours waiting to see somebody.
Top priority should be housing first, housing and then afterwards. We try and encourage young people to come back, I think. We've seen a mass exodus of young people now from the country and it's not looking bright, in my opinion. Anyway, it's nearly impossible to find a decent job these days. It's nearly impossible to try and get on the housing market. I think the government needs to work on that, otherwise you're just going to see more and more people leaving.
The election on November 29th, did you vote in the election?
I did not.
Why not?
Actually, I was homeless then, so trying to gather myself together, it was a really tough time.
The next government that's coming in, what would you like to see them put at the top of their list to sort out?
I think I have nothing but to create more accommodation for people. Yeah, it's a really pressing issue here in Ireland.
Did you get accommodation in the end?
Not yet.
Where are you living or what are you doing?
Actually, I'm presently suffer surfing with friends and family. That's it.
Sofa surfing for the moment. That woman in Tallaght speaking to me yesterday afternoon in that Vox Pop. An unscientific survey, but a number of issues raised that we'll discuss with our panel, which is Fianna Fáil's James Brown, TD for Wexford and Minister of State of the Department of Justice, Fine Gael's James Gagan, TD for Dublin Bay South, Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty, the party's spokesperson on finance and TD for Donegal, Sinead Gibney, Social Democrats, TD for Dublin Rathdown, and Independent TD for Dublin Bay North, Barry Heenahan. Now, we'll get into those issues, as I say, in a moment, but obviously first a government has to be formed and a government that could tackle them. So let's have a look at maybe how that government might come together, and we will, as I say, get into the substance of those issues shortly. James Gagan, to you first. The Fine Gael leader, Taoiseach Simon Harris, was in Scotland yesterday at the British-Irish Council meeting. He said, "I wouldn't take my party for granted. I think fewer public musings and more concrete engagement is the way to proceed." What does not being taken for granted mean?
Well, I think the first thing to say is we are only a week after the election. The votes have been counted. We know what the outcome looks like, and processes are now underway. So we had our parliamentary party meeting. All of the other parties had theirs. We gave our leader, Simon Harris, a mandate to negotiate Fine Gael to enter into government. He's appointed a negotiating team. I understand there is a meeting next week between the two leaders. I also understand that there's going to be more formal engagement between the negotiating teams and the other parties, be that Fianna Fáil. And what always happens in all government formation talks is that you deal with the policies in the first instance. And that is what matters. And that's what that formed the basis of the discussion in our parliamentary party.
And if that is the order of priority, I mean, it's a pretty simple choice for Fine Gael, isn't it? You can either play second fiddle to Fianna Fáil in government, or you can play second fiddle to Sinn Féin in the opposition benches.
Well, I think we saw in the election campaign that some people did get ahead of themselves in terms of, you know, picking portfolios and picking suitable partners. Ultimately, this government will form like every other government has formed in the history of the state. It'll be formed on the basis of policies. Those policies will be discussed, negotiated, a programme for government will be formed, and on the conclusion of those policy agenda and on the conclusion of the programme for government, it will be then for the technicalities of who's going to hold which portfolio, and that'll be a matter for the respective party leaders who are involved in these government formation talks. But we're clear as to what our priorities are, and it is about housing, it is about small business, and it is about disability services. And that's not an exhaustive list.
And that can only be achieved in government, though, can't it?
That can only be achieved in government. We're a party of government, and we're going to be negotiating on the basis to get into government.
James Brown, why not call Fine Gael's bluff on this not being taken for granted thing? You could improve your ultimate leverage if you did actually go and talk to all parties, including Sinn Féin.
That's not a question of calling anybody's bluff, and I don't believe Fine Gael are bluffing anybody. We've worked very well in the previous government. We had a very effective government, and I think that was reflected in the results of the general election. I think what we'll be doing is entering into these negotiations with mutual respect, and I think showing everybody dignity, whether that's Fine Gael, whether that's independents, whether that's Labour or the Social Democrats. There is a process there. Micheál Martin has already met with a number of independents to kind of get sound them out and see what their perspectives are. Our negotiation team have had discussions, and we'll be entering into those negotiations in more detail.
Respect, but not equality. Your party leader has said that the ultimate outcome has to reflect the numbers. You've got 10 seats more than Fine Gael, and that Micheál Martin wants that to be reflected in government.
Well, I think what Micheál Martin primarily wants reflected, and he has stated that it's his priority, is policies. We have to have a government that will be reliable, that will be stable, and that will make further achievements in relation to those key issues that you heard the people talking about: housing, health, disability, and areas like cost of living. And you need a stable government for 5 years that can also be a decisive government of groupings that can actually work together on a committed process. So what we'll do is we'll sit down, we'll talk to different independents, we'll talk to different parties, and I think a framework will be agreed between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. I think that is the pathway to a stable government.
Right. Piers Doherty, your party leader, Mary Lou McDonald, has been critical of Fianna Fáil for not talking to you, even though they contested the election on the basis that they wouldn't go into government with you. But whatever about the label of Fine Gael as a junior partner in any forthcoming coalition that I think all Sinn Féin reps have been using, if Fianna Fáil did talk to you, you would be the junior partner.
Well, let's be clear, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are in the driving seat here. The numbers are clear, and it's clear that the likely government will be those two parties, with Fine Gael playing that junior role, and more than likely propped up by independents. And we're very clear, we were clear before the election, that this is the worst possible outcome for the people of Ireland. It's definitely the worst possible outcome for young people who've seen no alternative here. In the last week alone, Colm, let's look at the stories that have emerged. We've seen record homelessness last Friday announced, nearly 15,000 people homeless now in the state. We've seen on Wednesday reports coming out from the CSO that the government are going to miss their housing targets again, with housing building down 4%. And just yesterday we hear that rents are up by 9%, nearly up by 13% in my county. So these are the issues that will not be, in my view, addressed when if we have a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael government re-elected. And but that's why...
You sound like you've accepted at this stage that they have firmly shut the door on the option of Sinn Féin being in government, and you're preparing yourself to lead from the opposition benches.
As I said at the very start, and as we've consistently said, the numbers are there for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to form a government propped up by a number of independents. That deal isn't done yet. So there may be scope there, but that is where things are travelling. That is the direction of travel. That is the likelihood in relation to what is going to happen. I think what we have to look at is...
We actually have somebody who's a member of the regional independent group here in studio, Barry Heenan. He's the independent TD for Dublin Bay North. Barry Heenan, the characterisation of your group propping up a Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil government, do you accept that characterisation?
I wouldn't accept that. No. Firstly, I'd like to thank the people of Dublin Bay North for putting me in this position. I'm honoured, I'm humbled, and I'd like to congratulate the deputies here with me today. I wouldn't accept that characterisation. I'd say, as I said on RTE 2 weeks before the election, independents can be the common sense between political parties. They have the ability to walk out of government if something is not going well with what they sit on. And I had a lovely meeting, and I will continue talking to everyone and from every party to best represent Dublin Bay North.
Can I ask you about the meeting within your group? You've no doubt had a chat with Michael Lowry.
Yeah.
Eight of you are trying to agree common priorities. You'll have individual constituency issues too. But can you give us a sense of what the national issues are that the 8 TD independent group will be concentrating on, and when that goes forward to government, and what the key issue for you is?
Well, there's a range of issues that we discussed in that meeting, and it was a brilliant learning meeting for myself, meeting all these experienced TDs. A lot of what they spoke about was the difficulty for SMEs at the moment with the current tax rates, and the issues that I spoke with on the doorstep of Dublin Bay North was the housing crisis, seeing that a lot of my friends have emigrated due to the cost of living, enhancing public services, local infrastructure, supporting disabilities and disability amenities throughout the ward, SNAs, and child poverty with over 230,000 children living in poverty. And I strongly support a second tier of child benefit for low-income families to reduce child poverty rates.
Okay. Sinead Gibney, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael sources saying that, telling the newspapers that the Social Democrats are too left-wing to do business with, and Social Democrats sources telling newspapers that they're not really serious about wanting coalition with Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. So what is there to talk about to Fianna Fáil when you eventually do meet them?
Well, we are absolutely serious, and not only serious, we're eager to get into government, and we have been clear with the voters throughout this election period that we want to talk to everybody and that we will talk to everybody. That's what we're currently engaged in doing, and that we have very clear lines that we will start that negotiation process from, and they are around the delivery of 50,000 affordable purchase homes in the next cycle of government, as well as the implementation of Sláinte Care, a public model of childcare, credible climate action that will evade not only now 8 billion but up to 20 billion in fines that we've seen this week. So all of those, we're the only party, I think, that have been crystal clear about what we will bring into government formation talks, and that's exactly what we're doing now. We have been consistent and honest with the electorate, and that's what we're trying to do.
And presumably ministerial portfolios would be something you'd be after in order to drive through and implement the policies in the way you want them implemented.
Well, I think I would agree with some of what's already been said, that the first point of call for government formation talks has to be about policies. We're not in this for positions, we're in this for policies. And you mentioned the coverage that was out today. I think it was also laughable that the commentary about our ambition for 50,000 affordable purchase homes was called unrealistic, which just speaks to the lack of ambition in the big parties that are about to lead on government formation.
If, for example, though you did want to see those policies implemented in the way the Social Democrats want to see them implemented, it's not just about policy, isn't it? It's about seeing the policies made reality, and that would require ministerial seats.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course it would. But it is not for this stage of the talks. And that's my point, is that, you know, we were very clear with voters about what we were offering. And that's what we're trying to focus on now in terms of the negotiations and the talks that we're having. And by setting out those five clear and explicit policy goals, we're not trying to break the deal. We're not trying to prevent negotiation. They are an effective way of saying to any party who wishes to speak to us, these are the things that we have promised to voters, that we will only go into government if we can deliver on these. And they are the bare minimum. We want to do a lot more than that, and they are progressive left policies that we want to bring into a government, and we are utterly serious about it. And I you know, I think it's problematic that there is such a narrative that we're not serious about it, because that is not the truth.
Okay, let's get to some of the issues that were raised in the Vox Pop there, because housing was one of them. Affordability being a big issue being raised by people, whether that's on the issue of rent, but on the issue of purchase in particular. James Brown and James Gagan, I'll come to you both on this. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were very critical of Sinn Féin's housing plan, the plan that's based on the idea of people being able to buy a house, but the state retaining ownership of the land. And the reason you were critical of it was the you said that there was no clarity from the banks on whether they would lend for houses built on that land if it was retained by the state. It's likely that both your parties will be in government. Isn't it easy to clarify that now at this stage as a government? Ask the banks if they would lend on that basis, and if they would, incorporate it into the housing policy as a means of rolling out affordable housing. James Brown, to you on that first.
Well, it wasn't simply the banking issue. I mean, this was a Sinn Féin's policy on affordable housing is a house you will never own. You will never own the land which that house is built on. And they would control who you sold that house onto if you ever wanted to move. It was back to the old ground rents we've seen in decades past. So I think just fundamentally on a point of principle, you know, that is not affordable housing, because it is not a house that ultimately you will ever own.
Ownership in shared equity as well, which people would have to pay back before they set it on. So in a way, there is still a means of controlling the way in which people sell on a house under shared equity as well.
Well, there's a fundamental difference. Shared equity is a financial support to help you buy your home. And under the Sinn Féin model, it is a home you will never own. And I think that is a fundamental difference there. And as well as that, we have another fundamental other differences with Sinn Féin as well around the pro-enterprise economy.
Well, let's stick to this specific issue first. James Gagan, to you on that. If this plan could deliver cheaper houses, do you think people really care who owns the ground under the house? If the house can be bought at an affordable cost, they could raise a family in it and it comes within their price range. Why not ask the banks and see?
Well, to answer your question directly, I do think people in Ireland care when they've put the work together to get a deposit together to buy their home, that they want to know that they own that home and that they can sell that home to whomever they may wish to in the future. That is the standard model that we have been incorporating into the Irish economy for the best part of 50 years. It is now the case that...
But if they can't afford a home, that's all notional.
It's not notional, because that presupposes that there isn't an alternative affordable purchase model already in this state, which there is.
And you heard from that couple who were talking about the Help to Buy scheme is not helping them, because homes that they're looking for in the area of the commuter belt keep going up above 500,000.
So that you mentioned one policy there, the Help to Buy scheme, and that is true. It is capped at a specific amount, and that's to curb further price inflation, but it has helped thousands, tens of thousands of homeowners already. It is the case that first-time buyers are buying their homes at a rate of 600 a week. We have additional measures that the state have introduced. The shared equity scheme is what James Brown was speaking about a moment ago. But we also have state-led delivered affordable purchased homes in my own council, or the council I was previously a part of and Lord Mayor of. We have a very significant pipeline of affordable purchase homes, some of which have already commenced, including a one-bedroom apartment, just to give you a quick example, in the Oscar Traynor Road, which is at a cost of €274,000. All of those units, there was an oversubscription of interest. And what it is now about over the next 5 years is delivering them.
There are other houses in that scheme that are at far more. I think was there a house there at for 470,000 as well?
Ultimately, what we did on that particular project is that we drove down the prices further in terms of providing additional subsidies. But what we can say is that the pipeline is very, very significant over the next 5 years, and it will be delivered at an affordable rate for people to buy, so that we have that mixed typology. Okay.
I want to go to Piers Doherty on this. I've asked the two TDs from the outgoing government about their willingness to ask the banks as to whether or not the plan you were floating during the election was a runner, but I suppose ultimately the electorate had their say, and they didn't go for it in the numbers that you would have hoped.
Well, listen, we've returned with the biggest number of TDs in the history of Sinn Féin in 100 years since the 1918-1921 elections. We've never seen more TDs walk into Leinster House from Sinn Féin, and that's on the back of Fine Gael's second worst election in history and Fianna Fáil's second worst election in history. So, you know, there are a huge mandate that we have out there, and we'll continue to work and drive forward the issues of housing. Let me just be clear, Colm.
All right, but there, I suppose... I'll give you the time to answer that, but I suppose, look, on raw numbers, you managed your seats very well. You had a very effective director of elections, but the number of people who voted for you was down.
Absolutely. But okay, we've also got the number of TDs is actually increased, and it is our best in terms of TDs ever. But you asked, sure, Colm, yeah, with respect, issue, with yeah. respect, you asked about our policy to two of the government parties. So let me just make this clear. There are TDs, I'm sure, within Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael who own their own home, but they own an apartment, so they don't own the land. So this is nonsense what they're talking about. So let's be clear. People who own apartments in Dublin City own their home, but they don't own the land that's underneath it. The banks have no problem loaning to apartments. The issue here is this. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael can't deliver affordability. You heard James Gagan talk about Oscar Traynor Road. It's €475,000 for a three-bedroom house in Oscar Traynor Road. Under the government's affordability scheme, the state owns 30% of your home, so you never actually own your own home unless you pay the full amount back, and you can only pay it back in lump sums of €10,000. That's the reality. What Sinn Féin has put on the table is making homes really affordable. Unfortunately, when I said that this is the worst outcome in the election, why did I say that? It's not because Sinn Féin didn't get enough seats or we're not in government. It's because the reality is, I believe the housing crisis is going to get worse. The house prices, as we've seen under this government, have increased 90,000, 95,000 in the last 5 years, and I see nothing, if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael go back together, that will actually arrest this, because they are bankrupt in ideas. We've seen all the indicators, homelessness, housing completion according to the CSO, rents and house prices all going in the wrong direction. And that's why I worry about the outcome of the election. That's why I worry about Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. That's why people in my constituency and elsewhere are really despondent at the fact that they're seeing 5 more years of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. But I say to them that we need to keep hope alive, that we now have a bigger mandate than ever before in terms of the number of TDs. We also have left blocs on the opposition that have never been bigger before, and we are going to work every single day to drive forward change from whatever position we hold.
Sinead Gibney, you've heard from the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael TDs there. They are minded to stick rigidly to the programmes that they had on housing in the last government. It doesn't sound like there is an openness to ideas from the opposition benches where the Social Democrats were and may return. Mm-hmm. What's your reaction to that in terms of government negotiations? If it is about policy, it doesn't sound like your housing policy would make much headway.
No, and I think that's really disappointing, because it was very clear from voters, from honestly across the political spectrum, that there's frustration with the housing approach and policies that this government has taken. The fact that affordability for the outgoing government is somewhere around the 500,000 mark in Dublin is just ridiculous. And I think we heard from one of the contributors in your Vox Pop that they're out of touch, and I think that's a clear demonstration of that. In our fully costed with contributions from industry experts, our plan is for the delivery of affordable homes in Dublin under 300,000 and outside Dublin under 260,000. And that delivery that I mentioned earlier of 50,000 affordable purchase homes across the term of this next government is the only way. It is the bare minimum that we need to see to actually move the market. So I think it's really shocking that they don't see that. And I also think we've seen this. I mean, my colleague Cian O'Callaghan, our deputy leader and housing spokesperson, he put in 255 amendments to the recent Planning and Development Bill, you know, the third biggest piece of legislation in the history of the state, with really sound evidence-based policies that have worked in other jurisdictions that are like Dublin that we know would work here. And how many of them were accepted? Zero.
Okay, Barry Heenan, you've heard, as I say, from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Are there any specific proposals that the your regional group would like to see in terms of changes to housing policy? And do you think, from what you've heard, that there is an openness to that?
Well, we did speak on housing. It was a huge part of our meeting. What I did say to the people of Dublin Bay North was I was reaching for an annual target of 60,000 homes per annum for 25 years and utilising modern construction methods such as modular homes, which is a preset house, which reduces construction time and also reduces the amount, the cost of construction. I also think that the planning reforms really need to be loosened in the sense that carpet planning, and there needs to be a tiered planning system, 0 to 9 units, 10 to 50 and 50 plus, which should be streamlined. They're homes that you're building. At the moment, people are running into red tape everywhere they go. I'm part of the locked out generation. I'm 26. I'm still living at home. Most of my friends have emigrated. The Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have created this housing crisis. And if you go on Irish election literature, for the last 50 years, they've been saying housing, disabilities, healthcare. Then why haven't they done it in the last 50 years? They've been in government, and now my generation and all of my family and all of my friends are locked out of the house market. It's ridiculous, and we need to get change. I can agree with the Social Democrats in the sense that they do need to change these things, but they haven't done it, and they've had their chance. It's time for someone else to be in there.
You're not talking yourself out of government there, are you?
No, I hope not.
Okay. Look, it's very important to clarify here that Fianna Fáil has always been open to new ideas, and you've seen that in the last 4.5 years in government when there's significant change in policy. It's Sinn Féin's policy of a home you never own. We have specifically
people who own apartments don't own their own homes. That point has been made by Pierce.
That's a legally very different listener situation.
But they can sell it to whomever they wish. The Sinn Féin housing policy is they will tell you who you can sell your home to. That is not a housing policy that the Irish people want.
And right. First of all, James,
a first-year student will tell you someone owning their own home.
Because Pierce did mention me by name, and I just want to clarify one fact.
I'll let you back in, but just don't talk over each other. James Gagan, I'll come back to Pierce Doherty.
Pierce did mention a fact, and it's not the first time Sinn Féin have got their numbers wrong. The houses in Oscar Traynor Road, 3-bedroom home, he said it went for 474,000. In fact, it went at 361,000. I just want to put that on the record.
First of all, James, let's be clear. The full cost of that home, how much is it? Because the state retains an equity of 30%. So what is the full cost of that home? James, the reality is because you tried to suggest that my numbers are wrong. No, so you should be fully upfront and honest with the people.
Don't talk over Pierce. Just let him finish and I'll come back to you for a brief response.
The full cost of that 3-bedroom home, if you want to own that home and buy out the equity, is €475,000. That's what you call affordability. I think you're off your head. Because most people in Dublin cannot afford that. Most people in the country cannot afford that. That is the issues here in terms of this. Our housing policy looks at 370,000 homes over the next 5 years. A portion of them are what we call affordable homes that will be available to purchase at €250,000 or up to €300,000. Okay. That is what we've suggested, and how you make it affordable is by retaining ownership of the land. It allows you to pass that house on to your children and your grandchildren without penalty. Unfortunately, under your scheme, actually, if you haven't bought back the equity before you pass on, your children will have to pay that penalty. So therefore, this is about affordability. Okay. You simply do not get it. Okay. You simply people are locked out of housing. James and that's why, under Fine Gael, home ownership has collapsed for the under 40s.
For a brief response.
I think the listeners listening on will decide, the outcome of this particular dispute. But ultimately, if you change the goalposts in an argument, I think the listeners will know where it is. The price of the house that was sold was 361,000.
Are you including shared equity in your figures?
Of course we're including shared equity in the figures.
So it's only 70% of the house, James, is it?
That's not correct.
So if you buy 70% of the house,
we heard disability raised twice in the Vox Pop. We want to talk about that. We're going to take a quick break first.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Hello again. Still with me are Fine Gael's James Gagan, TD for Dublin Bay South, Sinn Féin's Pierce Doherty, TD for Donegal, and the party spokesperson on finance, Sinead Gibney, Social Democrats, TD for Dublin Rathdown, and Independent TD for Dublin Bay North, Barry Heenan. We heard disability raised a number of times. We heard disability raised a number of times, Sinead Gibney, in the course of that Vox Pop. Some of it was about waiting lists, some of it was about services. Your party wants a full ministerial portfolio for disability. Is that a standalone portfolio for just disability with no other responsibilities, or are there other other areas that you would be happy to have added into that?
No, I think it is about having a full standalone ministerial position. And the reason for that is because we are, relatively speaking, as a country in this globe, a wealthy nation. And the position and experience of people with disabilities in Ireland is just shockingly out of sync with our European counterparts. And so that tells us simply that there is not a political will to actually deal with this. We are a wealthy enough country that we should have much better outcomes for people with disabilities in terms of education, inclusive education, employment, independent living, and supports for those people who need them, the people with disabilities and their families.
So not just a department, a minister with that department.
Correct.
And the sole focus being on disability. And the particular other model in Europe, I mean, in some cases people have cited the issue of Finland, where somebody gets a budget at birth if there is a disability diagnosed, and that budget that's assigned to them is on the basis of need, and then the services are bought with that. Is that the kind of model you're looking at?
Absolutely. And in my previous professional experience, I worked in the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission as chief commissioner there, and we had a role in, the organisation had a role in monitoring Ireland's obligations under what's called the Convention on Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And I have to say, like, of all the UN conventions, it's a really model one. It's a playbook essentially for a state to come in and implement a rights-based model of disability. Because I would say here in Ireland, we still have a very charitable, very paternalistic, and honestly a very ableist view of the world. We think about disability as an afterthought, as something you give a little bit to. But where we need to get to as a society is that we all have the right to participate in society in those areas I've mentioned: education, housing, employment, and so on. And the state has to identify, along with those people who experience barriers, where those barriers are to that participation, and then remove them.
But I suppose in a debate on this in September, the minister with responsibility for disabilities pointed to 2.8 billion euro being put into community disability services. Has there been any improvement in your analysis?
I think there are areas of improvement, no question, but it's just nowhere near enough. And we have put our money where our mouth is throughout this election campaign, and not just saying that we will appoint a senior minister for disability, but also that we will increase disability spending through the years 26 to 2030 by the tune of 1.1 billion. And that addresses things like implementation of the HSC capacity review, implementing a new cost of disability payment, which recognises that for people with disabilities, life is simply more expensive. And then finally, bringing into line the Section 39 workers' pay parity with their HSC counterparts, which, as we saw, became a huge issue later on in the election.
Barry Heenan, disability is one of the issues on your list that the government should deal with. What specifically do you want to see
done?
Well,
it's huge. It's a very long list. I'd be on all day. It's no secret that Finian McGrath has been backing me since day one. Former Minister of Disabilities. While he was in term, he got an extra 480 million added to the disability budget.
He didn't ratify the CRPD while he was minister.
But he did a lot of other good stuff. We can pick and choose if you want to do that. Let's just say what he did do, and I did say that. He also returned the carers allowance.
What do you want to see done?
I want to see the expand services for people, access to healthcare, education, employment and public spaces. We need investment in residential and respite care, more personal assistant hours and reduced waiting times. I've walked the streets of Dublin Bainhorn for the last 2 months. People are really struggling with disabilities. Education, the shortage of SNAs, and especially for students with autism, and we need more specialised training. Every child deserves a chance to thrive, and I've seen it. I've heard parents. The carers allowance, the means test needs to be abolished time and time again.
James Gagan, there's 10,000 children waiting for an assessment in need. These are figures that were cited in that debate in September, which weren't disputed. 110,000 waiting on essential therapies. A third of primary schools only have autism classes, and just over half of post-primary schools have autism classes. There was other reference to a 72-month waiting list for services for a community disability network team in Dublin 15. There's a lot of work to be done on this. There has been unprecedented wealth in the country for the last number of years. Why are those figures so bad?
Well, what I would say is I completely agree with you. There is a lot of work to be done on this. I mean, but I'd also agree with Sinead that there has been some areas of progress, but it is not enough. And that is why our leader, our Taoiseach Simon Harris, has made it clear going into the negotiations for the programme for government that disability is one of our big priorities. And what are we talking about there? Well, we are talking about how assessment of need is dealt with. In my professional life as a barrister, I've seen far too many cases in clogging up judicial review lists where essentially parents have to go to a solicitor to try and get an assessment of need, and that's before they even get the delivery of the service.
They pay €3,000 up to €3,000 for an assessment of need, and then one of the parents who was talking to me out there in Tala said they're not guaranteed a service after that. They're left with their diagnosis and told basically be on your way.
That's precisely the point. And look, I have a lot of knowledge of this even in my own area, where you may have been granted an assessment and the level of service that your child might get is not up to what that child needs. So there is answers there, though, and one of the answers have already started in the last government, and that is having OT services and SLT
occupational
services,
therapy, speech and language therapy,
directly provided. And where it has started again is in special schools, but where we absolutely need to get it to is that you have OT services directly delivered in schools who have ASD classes, okay. And for autistic children that are in mainstream classes. That's the model of delivery that we need to get to.
James Brown, there are 700 vacancies for therapies in the HSE. There is an industrial dispute the people who are in the community disability network teams, because they have no faith that if they are moved to the schools that the services would be backfilled in the community disability network teams. That's a sizable challenge, no matter what the numbers say.
Yeah, so look, as a key priority for the formation of the previous government, disabilities, as a request of Fianna Fáil, was taken out of health, put into the Department of Children, to bring it to a human rights-led approach for people with disabilities and not simply a medical approach. It's going to require a whole of government approach to get people with disabilities in a position where they have all of the rights met. Minister Anne Rabbitt saw a €1.2 billion increase in disabilities in the previous government, so a similar figure to Sinead Gibney, and we need to see a further significant increase over the next government.
Is it true to say that Minister Anne Rabbitt felt she was beating her head against a brick wall when it came to trying to deal with the Department of Health, and so she needed to move elsewhere because that headway couldn't be made? Now, isn't that, I suppose, a political failure rather than an issue that's informed specifically by human rights?
No, the policy was informed by human rights. There was a challenge to get that department to move. There's no question about that. Minister Anne Rabbitt fought tooth and nail to get it done, and she got it done. And she wasn't afraid to take on officials within the HSC or within the department. And I think she was a real fighter in the cause of disabilities. And that human rights approach is there now, but we need to see significant more funding, and we need to see those human rights approach, I think, across the entire government and across the entire state. My own sister's spine bifida hydrocephalus in a wheelchair. I see the challenges on a daily basis, and their rights need to be met so they have the same rights as everybody else in this country.
Piers Doherty, the issue, as I say, of disability coming up in that Vox Pop. How much more than the government would Sinn Féin propose spending on this area, and what would the big idea be for actually getting people into the jobs, training them up?
Yeah, look, the Sinn Féin's manifesto included the biggest commitment in relation to disability from any political party. It included about €1.4 billion of additional new measures above what is the current existing levels of services. And we did that because, look, there's parents listening to this programme and they'll be pulling their hair out. They're hearing about human rights approach, the work that the government have done. There are parents that I know in this my own constituency, and they exist all across the state, who have not had services for their children for years. There are parents who are fighting the system day in, day out. And you know what, Colm? They are absolutely exhausted, and it shouldn't be that way. Our children who have got disabilities needs to be properly cherished, and it can be done. So what needs to be done? We need to make sure that we have proper workforce planning in relation to disability services. We have the CNDT, the Children's Disability Networks teams in my county of Donegal. In some places, 60% of them are vacant. They don't exist in the areas. So therefore, we have children that are going without basic services, services that they need to flourish, to thrive, services such as being able to adjust a wheelchair or in terms of a brace, that they simply are going without because of what has happened over the last number of years in this government. We need decongregated settings, additional 3,000 places. We need to increase PA hours and home support hours dramatically. We have a comprehensive plan in relation to doing that, and I really, really fear that, you can change the department and all that.
Do you make any allowance for the fact that there was extra money provided to clear some of the assessment of need waiting lists by the last government?
Colm.
And funding provided for whole-time equivalent posts in the sector either?
Put your Put your feet into the shoes of a parent with a child with disabilities. I am not going to applaud the government for actually what, because what they have done is they've broken the law over and over again for these children. There is a legal requirement to have an assessment of needs within a period of time. The government have broke that over and over and over again. And it is, forget about, you know, party politics and all the rest. These children are being failed dramatically by this state, dramatically by this government. And I really, really worry that we are not going to see a step change in relation to disability approach. What we need is, because I've seen the manifestos of Fine Gael, I've seen the manifestos of Fianna Fáil, and what we really need was a real big step change that really put the children and adults with disabilities centre stage. And I don't think that is forthcoming from these two parties.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're back in a minute. We want to have a look at the issue of the turnout in the last election, how that might be improved to engage voters.